The halachas of electricity on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Rabbi Tzvi Savulevsky, part of the contemporary halacha series.
I think we have to give the same akdama that we gave to the last two shiurim. There's no way to do justice to this topic in an hour or plus, but we'll try to do our best. So in order to understand the issues relating to electricity, we're going to try to really break it down to two different segments. So first, really, in a certain sense, the lumdus, to try to understand what the background is in terms of what the surim, potentially surim, are involved, the raises, the rabbanans, in terms of overall electricity questions, lights and other types of devices, more in terms of just what the sugyas are, and then other, in a certain sense, tangential issues that come up in terms of electricity, other issues that come up relating to issues of Grumman, related to issues of Davashim Miskavein and Tigratias and things of that nature as they play out in terms of specifically electric devices. So we're going to try to touch on many, many different topics in the short time allotted to us and try to get a little bit of a better understanding as to how to paskin many, many of these shailas that come away in terms of electricity, both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So when electricity first found its way into the world, well, found its way into the world from the days of Shesh Mevreshes, but the first time that people realized that it's going to work, we can actually do something with it. So there was a big, big shaila in the Poskim, big discussion in the Poskim in Europe, well over 100 years ago already, as to what exactly is the nature of electricity. So the first shaila that we have to discuss is how the halacha would view an electric light. That's the most first and most important issue. So what would halacha say about turning on an electric light in Shabbos? Is that considered to be an issur d'oraisa? Is that an issur d'rabbanan? What exactly is the parameters? Maybe it's mutar. What exactly, when I say maybe, I don't really mean it. What are the parameters? Well, we got a long way to go, a long, long, long way to go. So what's the status of an electric light on Shabbos? So many of the poskim pointed out that this issue is really an issue that appears in the Gemara. The Gemara wasn't talking precisely about electricity, but the Gemara was talking about the issue was called a Yagachel HaShamateches. What is that law if you take a piece of metal and you heat up metal to such a point where the metal begins to glow, the metal is giving off lights, getting up heat. So what is the deal? Is that considered to be an Eish or not? So the Torah says, Al-Savar, Eish B'chamosh V'seichem Yom HaShabbos. So what's considered to be an Eish? So we think we know what an Eish is. We think and you strike a match, that's called you made an Eish. You light a candle, that's called an Eish. Is making something glow, heating up and glowing, a piece of metal, is that considered to be an Eish or not? What's the Shaila? So before you even look at the Rishonim, just conceptually, it's not exactly the same as a regular, what we usually associate fire with. Abdi Nezer points out that usually there are two parts of fire. There are a lot of, without getting into the details of the physics, but there are halachically two basic parts of the fire. There is the fact that the fire is providing light, heat, slash it's providing some kind of a glow. That's number one. And number two, that something is actually getting consumed, or at least something that you can actually see in front of our eyes is getting consumed. So a regular fire has both of those components. The question becomes, which of those components is really critical? What exactly defines Eish in halacha? Do we say that any time you have anything that's heated up and glowing and providing heat and light, etc., that's automatically considered to be Eish? Or maybe the fact that something is being consumed is an integral part of the definition of Eish. My nafkamina. So it could be that a gachel shemateches may be the nafkamina, because the gachel shemateches on the one hand is providing a source of light. You can heat up metal, so it's now glowing. On the other hand, it's not getting consumed. Now, the truth is, it is getting consumed, I mean, to some degree, but the degree of consumption maybe doesn't meet the halachic criteria for consumption. I'm not really seeing it getting burnt up. So yes, we all know it's true that eventually your light bulb is going to blow, because something does get consumed, but it's going to take an awful long time for that to happen. So therefore, this is not an advertisement for flashlights or anything. Just the bottom line is that it's not the same as burning a piece of paper. It's not the same as burning a thing of oil for your menorah. When I light my menorah, so I skip the 2 hours, I see there's no more oil left. Whereas when I, just because I had a piece of metal that was glowing for 2 hours, I don't necessarily sense the difference. So what's the din? Is the fact that something is or is not being consumed, is that critical to the definition of Eish? So the Avdineza writes in one of his shuvahs, one of the more fascinating rayas to this discussion, a raya from Pasuk Chumash. He says, V'inei asneh bo'er ba'esh, v'asneh enen ukal. The Torah says that the sneh is bo'er ba'esh, it's a havar, it's the same lashon the Torah uses for l'osavar esh b'chamash v'asechem, and lo and behold, v'asneh enen ukal, and the sneh was not being consumed, it was not being eaten up. So you see from here that being eaten up is not an integral part of the definition of esh. I don't know, maybe you can see from here the opposite. Maybe you can see from here that the Torah is bringing a raya. The Torah is saying that this is an Eish. It has all the qualities of an Eish, but believe it or not, and then Uka, what is that an Eish? What am my face? That it's an Eish without being, you know. So I'm not sure I would bring a Raya Brura from Foskin Pasha Shmos to a Shabbat de Raisa, whether something is Mutter Rosh on Shabbat. So let's see if we can bring other Rayas. So the Rishonim point out already, several Gemaras, the Gemaras in Daf Mem, and the Beis and Shabbos, and later on Shabbos, but the Gemara does speak about the difference between a Gachela Shel Mateches in contrast to a Gachela Shel Eitz. The Gemara says that to extinguish the Gachela Shel Mateches, which literally means a coal of metal, i.e. a hot glowing piece of metal, so the Gemara assumes that that's only an Issa de Rabbanim. The Gemara discusses sometimes it even being permissible. Let's say you have a situation of Hezek Rabim, we have a situation where a lot of people are going to get hurt, so you're usually allowed to do something which is also Madir Rabbanim. So the Gemara speaks about the Chabin Gechel Shem Matechas Bishas Rabim, that you're allowed to extinguish a coal of Matechas, a glowing piece of metal, you're permitted to extinguish it on Shabbos to prevent people from getting hurt, even though normally it would be us to do it, since the Isra is only Madir Rabbanim, therefore Makam Hezek gets Mutter. So the Rishonim are bothered, why exactly is it only mid-dirabbanan? What's the dirabbanan about it? It's a glowing piece of metal. I'm pouring water on it, whatever I'm doing, putting fire extinguisher on it, whatever, however you put out a glowing piece of metal. But why is that only an issur of kibbutz mid-dirabbanan? So here there seems to be a machlokes issur rishonim. So some of the rishonim seem to say that the reason is because it's not an eish. That eish has a very specific meaning, and only an eitzim that are burning is an eish. Only shemen that's burning is an eish. Gasoline is an eish. But if you have something that's not really being consumed, like the metal, so that's not considered to be an eish. If it's not considered to be an eish, so then we assume that it is not considered to be an issur of kibbutz. Kibbutz is the opposite of havara. You're not allowed to be mechaba what's called in halacha an eish. So maybe that's the reason why kibbutz gachel shem atechas is only b'dirabanan, because it's not an eish on the level of the arhaisa. So although that opinion does appear in the Rishonim, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi writes a whole different view. Rashi writes that the reason why the Isser of Kibui of Mateches is only Midirabanan is not because it's not called an Eish. Rashi bends over backwards, goes out of his way, and gives you another reason. Rashi says it's not called an Eish Rashi says it's not called Kibui Minatorah because Kibui Minatorah is only in a situation where you have the ability to create a pecham, where you have the ability to create a charcoal. When you're going to accomplish something, when I have a piece of wood that's burning and I put it out, so that's going to be able to be used as a charcoal. Whereas if I have a piece of hot metal, so I put out the quote-unquote fire in the hot metal, so my hanilei, what did I do? I didn't accomplish anything. So that's not considered to be an issur of Kibui. So according to Rashi, the Rashi went out of his way to say that it's not called Kibui. Why did Rashi just say it's not called an Eish altogether? Well, you see from here, the Rashi held Bikaron, it is called an Eish. And to take it from the point of being cold to heating it up to make it glow and red and hot, etc., that presumably would be called Avara. Rashi is telling you there's a Din Prati, Ruchas Kibui, it's not called Kibui Bichi Agafna, but the implication being that it would be an Eish. So this seems to be the view of the Rambam as well. The Rambam Ruchas Shabbos discusses the possibility of a person being Mechamer Samateches, a person heating up a piece of metal to the point where it glows, to being potentially a Chiyuv Skila, to being a Nisa Diaraisa. So the Rambam seems to also look like Rashi, that it's not that it's not called an Eish, rather it's called an Eish. You have to figure out, maybe Kibui doesn't apply, maybe if it does apply, you have to figure out the details, but just to say in one fell swoop it's not an Eish, and therefore it's nothing Minatoyra, that's not correct. So that's how we usually assume halacha. That's what just about all the posts in Europe assume la halacha, like this Rashi and like the Rambam. The Rabbi has a little bit of a different twist to a Bechamis and Matechas. Maybe there's another halacha involved, Bishul, for a different reason. But whatever the case may be, we generally been assumed la halacha, like this Rashi and like this Rambam, that heating up a piece of metal to the point where it begins to glow, Bechamis and Matechas is considered to be a Nisadir Raisa. And therefore, we're going to assume like that from everything we speak from here on in. We're going to assume that the turning on of a regular light bulb, there's a filament inside, and it's getting hot, and it's getting white, and it's providing heat, providing glowing light. So we assume that's an absolute issur d'oraisa. So we're not going to quote anybody who disagrees with that. I'm not saying there weren't maybe a rishon who disagrees with it. Maybe there were poskim in Europe who disagreed with it 150 years ago. I'm not denying that. But the nimnu v'gomru, the consensus of the later poskim has been that we assume that turning on a regular incandescent bulb is considered to be an outright issur d'oraisa. Assuming that it's considered to be Eish, so that it has potential implications for other areas of halacha, some related to Shabbos in a little bit of different ways, and some external to Shabbos. So one of the issues that the poskim also ma'orer was there are other areas of halacha where Eish is important. It's in the Moshul for the end of Shabbos, for Bracha Borim Orei Eish. So can I recite a Bracha Borim Orei Eish on an electric light bulb? So Chor, if you hold the Rashi and the Rambam that it's called Eish, so there should be nothing wrong with reciting a Borim Eish on a light bulb. Maybe one could argue there are technical issues involved. So the Gemara says you're supposed to recite a Bormer Eish on an Avuka, something which is a torch, which gives a, you know, it's a hidur mitzvah. Okay, that's lechatchila. Maybe one could argue that an electric bulb is just as good as a torch. It's better than a torch. It gives more light than a torch. So one could pilpul when you learn the sugyas of Abdallah. Maybe next every halacha about the halachas of Abdallah, but well, not this time. So again, we're not going to spend too much time on this. And there are other technical issues in terms of reciting Burma Asian light bulbs. Many of our light bulbs today are what they call the frosted light bulbs. I mean, you can't really, even those which have incandescent bulbs, you can't really see the bulb. It's covered up for aesthetic reasons. So then maybe one could argue, well, that's a technical reason. Even though the ash is there, but you can't see the ash. Maybe you can't recite a bracha barba ash. So there may be a few technical reasons why one should or should not recite the bracha barba ash on a light bulb, but be ikaron, so lecharet should be okay. Not only should it be okay, but this was in fact the practice of several of the gedolim in Europe. Reb Chaim Oizer used to recite barba ash on the light bulbs. It said over the name of Reb Chaim, I don't have absolute documentation of these stories, but there's a tradition that said over the name of Reb Chaim that he used to recite Bracha Barma Esh. The way the story goes is that Reb Chaim Oz used to do it, that he didn't want anyone to think in the wildest dreams that you can turn on lights on Shabbos, so he would dafka go out of his way to make a Barma Esh dafka on the electric light bulb. So again, whether that should be practically enforced as manazah, in terms of frosted light bulbs, many of the light bulbs are not even incandescent bulbs altogether. So then you have technical reasons. But the ikaron, the idea being that it is considered to be a esh. Based on this idea that it's considered to be a esh, then the post can raise the next question. Well, would it be good for other aspects of Shabbos? Let's say halachas nevi Shabbos. This is a very, very common Shabbos. Could it be yaitzeh halachas nevi Shabbos with electric light bulbs? So here there were some poskim who questioned it. Here some poskim threw into question, maybe the standards for Neir Shabbos are different than just Eish. It's not just the din of Halachas Eish on Friday afternoon, but it's Halachas Neir, it's Lahadik Neir Shal Shabbos, it has to be a Neir. So maybe one can split and say that an electric bulb is called Eish, but maybe it's not called a Neir. Maybe a Neir has a very specific connotation of Shem and a Psila, like it was Hanukkah perhaps, and maybe an electric light bulb would fall short in terms of that. Whereas other poskim said, we're not mechuv to darsh in the lashon of brachas, not the gneir shel Shabbos. We know that Chazal instituted neir Shabbos, mishum onik Shabbos, mishum shel bayis, all the reasons covered, onik shel bayis, all the different reasons that appear in the Gemara and the Rishonim for the mitzvah lochas neir Shabbos. The bottom line is they should provide light. So my nafkaminu, but it's called the neir, it's not called the neir. The bottom line is it provides light. So that's also good enough. So you can be yaitzeh the mitzvah. You know, you don't have to be so sticky. It doesn't have to be a halacha of an actual neir. So again, so this is all assuming that electric light bulbs are fundamentally Eish, they're basically the same as Eish, but whether or not there's an additional criteria of Ner is up for discussion. Then the post can extend the Shabbat, and there's Hanukkah, obviously, a little bit of the Yoma, even though it's not part of the Shabbos, but of course also a very real Shiloh. Can a person be Yotze Lochus Neris Hanukkah with an electric bulb? So again, if you assume that it's basically Eish, so then the Lachar should be okay. So then maybe there are other reasons. Maybe there are tangential issues in terms of Neir Chanukah. Maybe there's an issue it has to be a Neir. And even if you hold that you don't need a Neir for Shabbos, maybe for Chanukah you do need a Neir. Maybe there's another reason some poskim say, it's called a Locha Osa Mitzvah, that the Gemara says that when you light the Neir Chanukah, so you have to be Yotzi at the time that you're lighting. I can't light the Neir Chanukah and then put it into a place somewhere else. That would be a violation of Locha Osa Mitzvah. You have to be Yotzi at the time of Locha. So the Rishonim quote that what would the din be if a person has a very, very limited amount of oil and it's sitting in his Neir Chanukah, he lights the Neir Chanukah without the shear of a half hour of oil, and then 10 minutes later somebody comes and pours, you come and pour more oil into the Neir. So the Rishonim says in Shulchan Aruch, he wouldn't be Yotzei the Mitzvah. Why? Because since B'Shas Hadlocha, there wasn't enough Shem in there, so we pass in Hadlocha Yotzei the Mitzvah. So that's what some poskim argued, that whenever you have an electric bulb, that's pretty much what you have. You have, what do you have in front of you? You don't have a shear of power in front of you. The power is somewhere, PSENG, finding its way down through the lines. Sometimes it makes it the house, sometimes it does make the house. But maybe that's considered to be a chisarin because it's not really all in front of you. So maybe that would be, again, that would be a technical issue in terms of Neir Chanukah. The post can respond that if that's the case, then maybe using a battery menorah would be better than using an electric menorah in terms of being plugged in. Maybe a battery, you can argue. So in the lichtin, the battery is the whole shear of quote-unquote oil. You have 20 hours left of power in your battery, so that's considered to be like having 20 hours worth of oil, maybe. So again, these are already external sugars. These are not part of the main electricity shilas. But again, these are just to get the line rolling a little bit. You see how far, potentially, these issues are in terms of the major shilas, in terms of the Shabbos. That's Nimna V'Gomer. We assume that it's considered to be an Eish. Is it also a Neir? Do you need a Neir? Is it good for Neir Shabbos, for Neir Chanukah? For other things, for Barber Eish, etc. These are all external questions, but the basic fundamental question is it considered to be Eish or not? And that we assume halacha, that it is considered to be Eish. Nevertheless, even though it's considered to be Eish, that doesn't close the entire electricity sugya. because there are many electric devices that we have that don't involve Eish altogether, don't involve any incandescent bulb, don't involve any kind of bulb of any type. So what would the halacha be about those kind of devices? Let's say a person wants to turn on a fan on Shabbos, turn on a vacuum on Shabbos, other things which don't necessarily have lights, and even if they have lights, maybe those lights are secondary. So what's the din? How does the halacha view electricity in the absence of this particular Shabbos? So the most chomer shayla of electricity is clearly turning on the lights. The question is, what about other kinds of electric devices? So this was also a major machlokes the Gedolim, but in Europe, in Eretz Yisrael, this is still a raging machlokes ad hayom hazeh. So, although there was some poskim who wanted to argue that that's also considered to be age, loss of our age, somehow the electric current is also considered to be age, that was, I think most poskim probably didn't accept that. So the question is, so what kind of isser are we dealing with, if any? So the Chazanish has is a famous comment, I put it on the Maimon Komos, Chazanish has in Hilchos Shabbos a whole yesod about what he thinks the nature of the Yisrael electricity is. Chazanish says, forget about Havar. Havar is also true when there are lights, but even without lights, there's a very serious problem. The Chazanish claims that it's a problem of Bona. Oh, Bona, what does that have to do with Bona? So the Gemara has a discussion in Masechta Shabbos in the seventh parak about a person who makes a kli, takes all the scrap materials and he builds a kli, makes a kli. So the Gemara says, it's Chai Mishum Bona. So the Rishonim have a big machlokes in that Gemara. What do you mean Chai Mishum Bona? We have a klal, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Beit, so that Ein Binyan B'Kalim. I can't say it's an outright klal, because it's machlokes Atanoim, but Ein Binyan B'Kalim, that the Isra Bona doesn't apply in the context of Kalim. And again, different applications of that principle, not for now. So come the Rishonim and ask, so how could the Gemara say that if a person makes a kli, the Gemara describes a person takes a shovel, takes the blade of the shovel, takes the handle of the shovel, puts it together, he makes it hokus pokus into a kli, it's chai b'shem bono. What kind of chai b'shem bono? It's like ein binyan b'kelim. So some of the Rishonim say, no chinami, that Gemara is assuming yesh binyan b'kelim, it's machoik, it's a tanoim b'etza. So it's not a kasha, but many of the Rishonim don't say that. The Ran and others say, no, the kalal of Ein Binyan B'Kalim means something else. Ein Binyan B'Kalim doesn't mean when you make a kli mitchila. If you make a kli, you take all the raw materials and you mamish form a kli. I can't say quite yesh me'ayin, nothing in this world is yesh me'ayin since the days of my sebrachos, but in a certain sense it's yesh me'ayin. You're taking a piece of scrap metal and turning a broken piece of wood and a broken piece of a blade, and you're putting it together and forming a kli. That's not called binyan b'kelim, that's called bona kli mitchilasai. So bona kli mitchilasai, the very making of a kli, that would be an issa d'oraisa of bona. So the Chazon Ish takes that gemara and he says, when you have a kli, so at what point do you say that a kli is being made? At what point do you say that I'm taking something which is just otherwise a piece of junk, that I'm turning it into a kli? So the Chazon Ish says, so I understand, I build a shtender. So I take a piece of wood, I take a piece of wood, I take a piece of wood, all the different pieces, put them all together, and I made a shtender out of it. That's a bona kli mitchil, that would be an isadir aisa. So the Chazon Ish has a chiddush. The Chazon Ish says, I have a vacuum in front of me, the vacuum cleaner in front of me, and it's not plugged into the wall, it's not on. What piece of junk is it? What can I possibly do with it? What am I going to do? I'm going to hit you with it. What am I going to do with a vacuum cleaner? It's mamish a piece of garbage. The only thing that gives a vacuum cleaner any chios is the fact that it's plugged to the wall and I turn it on and sure, it starts to work. Now I can clean up my floor. I have a fan. So I have a fan sitting here in front. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to stand there and turn the blade. It's worthless. So what gives it any degree of any significance? I plug it into the wall. Hooray. So we all built ourselves nice houses and we have a nice appliances and everything, and comes a hurricane and we don't have power for a week. And everything that we have is worthless. We can't, our floors are filthy because we can't vacuum the floor. Some people in the house were more concerned about that than others. Okay, granted. Everything that we have doesn't work. There's nothing. Radios don't work. Our computers don't work. A computer's a piece of junk because I can't. My cell phone's a piece of junk because I can't recharge it. We got a lot of stuff that's worthless. So comes the Chazon Ish and says, you're right. And what gives it a tchias ameisim? All of a sudden, you plug it into the wall. Baruch Hashem, power comes back, and everything comes back to life. So the Chazon Ish says, what you're doing, in effect, when you're turning on your electric devices, is you're boina kli mitchilaso. So the Chazon Ish says, you think that would be a nisa d'oraisa bona. Then the Chazon Ish is aware of the fact that somebody may disagree with his mashal. They may think that that's not called an oisa kli mitchilaso. That's not like the person who takes a piece of wood and metal and puts it together and makes a shovel. The kli is there already, the computer is sitting there, it's, everything is there, the vacuum cleaner is there, the fan's there, everything's there, it just has to be a little bit of kochus to it, so it's hard to call that oset chimit chilaso. So the Chazon Ish takes a step back and says, okay, don't call it oset chimit chilaso, call it bona for a different reason, because bona does apply b'mechubal l'karka. Anytime I build a structure or anything connected to a structure in Shabbos, that would be an isidir aisa of bona. The issue in the Gemara is, whether bona applies to kelim or not, but if it's karka, if I burn in karka, if I fix something on my wall, if I nail on something to the wall, if I fix the door or something, of course that's an issa d'oraisa. So comes the Chazanish and says, since the electric devices have to be plugged into the wall, they're considered to be like karka. And since they're considered to be like karka, that's called yesh binyan bekarka. So that's for sure the Siddur Aisa. So the Chazanish first said it's also because yesh binyan bekalim, because it's also kli mitchila. And then he says, well, even if it's not also kli mitchila, it's still also in a Torah because yesh binyan bekarka. So anyone who heard any shiur from one about filas kalim, so there's things to ring a bell a little bit about. I don't want to cross over to different areas of smicha curriculum, but in the realm of filas kalim, so one of the poskim, the Chalkas Yaakov, had a chiddush gadol. He thought that you don't have to toivel any electric kalim because all the electric kalim are never makabel tuma. Because there's a klal gadol nuchas tumas kalim is that anything that's mechubla karka is not makabel tuma. So many poskim say whatever is not makabel tuma doesn't ever have to be nitfal either. So if you put all those pieces of information together, so if you have an electric clay, so the electric, the toaster, the whatever it is, it can never work unless it's plugged into the wall. So according to the Chazanish, that's called Mechubel Karak. If it's called Mechubel Karak, then it's not Mechubel Tumah. It's not Mechubel Tumah, then you don't have to title it. So that's quite a jump. But it sounds like it's almost the same thing. So other Poskim say that's not really the same. Maybe the Hagadoras are different. That we usually don't accept that Chalkas Yaakov. We don't usually accept that that's a Ptur. Maybe there are other issues in electric kelim. We've got to learn the Tfilas Kelim Sugis to figure out whether you should or should not be telling electric kelim. But we probably don't want to go that route of the Chalkas Yaakov. So the Chazanish, again, the Chazanish threw this idea in as a yes, as a ace. He really was convinced that it's Osa Kli Mitchila, but even with Das HaChokim, it's still going to be a problem in terms of Binyan B'Mechuba. This is the Chazanish's whole theory. So there are others who question the Chazanish, most notably of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, at a time when he wasn't well known. This goes back to quite some time ago, when Rav Shlomo Zalman was a younger man in Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote a kuntres about electricity, and one of the things in his kuntres was his disagreement with the Chazanish. At the time, most people didn't know who he was, so he was taking on the Chazanish. But you know, as time went on, people realized that he was quite a barach, he doesn't need my stamp of approval. So one of the things that Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed with in that kuntres was this yisod of the Chazanish. He wasn't so sure that that's considered to be a problem of bona. And one of the reasons why maybe it falls short in terms of being bona is what's called the Chashabash. There is a Ramah, that the Chuvas of Ramah, that raises seems to be a funny question. The Ramah says, how come you're allowed to open and close the door on Shabbos? Why isn't that considered to be bone and sosa? Every time I open the door, I'm knocking down part of the wall. Every time I close the door, I'm rebuilding part of the wall. So why is that not awesome? So we haven't yet asked that. So why is that not awesome? So the Ramah says it's not awesome because that's not called a bonus of bias. That's called the mishtamish of the bias. That's the derech tashmisho of the bias. The way you use the house is by opening and closing the door. So the Ramah gives a marshal of Adamia. Is the thrust of the Chuvas Ramah was not to be mata opening the door. You didn't need the Ramah to tell you can open the door on Shabbos. The Chuvas Ramah was discussing a following Shabbos. He was discussing the issue of opening and closing a book which has letters printed on the back of the pages. So let's say, like, Fog was taking that out of the public library in Krakow. So there's a Krakow public library on it. So now the Ramah wants to know, can you open, the Ramah lives in Krakow, in case you didn't know. So can you open and close the pages of the book? So someone wanted to answer it because of Mochek and Kosev. Every time you separate the pages, so you're being Mochek. Every time you close the book, you're being Kosev. You're putting the letters back together again. So the Ramah thought that wasn't true. The Ramah thought that that's not called a writing a book. That's not called erasing letters. Kachi derech tashmish shel a book is to open and close the book. So that malacha is usually when you're doing something as a preparation. When I'm cooking the food, that's called the malacha. I'm eating the food, that's not a malacha. Every malacha, I'm chayrish, I'm plowing the field, I'm in kaitse the food. Everything is always a hachon if it's something else. But the etzem tashmish adover is automatically not considered to be malacha. So the Rabbah said that the opening and closing of the book is like the opening and closing of the doors. That's not considered to be a malacha. So that's what the Shlomo Zalman and others wanted to argue. That when you turn on the electricity, so that's the derech tashmisha b'kach. That's the way a fan is designed to be worked, to be used in the by turning it on is the part of the usage of the fan. You don't turn it on to build a fan. You don't turn it on to prepare a fan. You turn it on when you want to use the fan. So the turning on of the fan is not considered to be the malach of binyan ha-fan. It's considered to be the derech tashmisha of the fan. So one could argue maybe the malach of binyan doesn't apply over here. So again, this was a question, the Gedol Le'olam, not for me to be mechriya, Gedol Le'olam, as to what exactly the issue of bina is relating to non-lights types of electric appliances. According to those who disagreed with the Chazanish, so what other issues potentially are available for us? If we're not going to ask without Tzavara because there are no lights, and it's not going to be also because of Bona maybe, so then what, if any, are Isurim that are relevant? So this was already in, before the days of the Chazanish, already in Europe. So one of the Gedolim, the Beis Yitzchok, familiar to our yeshiva. This is not the Ritzel Chan who went named after this. It was a different Ritzel of Smochus who had a tshuva's Beis Yitzchok, nothing to do with the annual publication. And the Beis Yitzchok had a different vote. He based himself in a Gemara that appears in Masechus Beitza, in a Gemara that appears in Masechus Shabbos, a little bit of a different context. And this is what's called Ein Motziin Es HaEish Min HaEitzim Min HaAvonim, or Ein Raskin Es HaMai Es HaSheleg. The Gemara has in a few different places that there's an issue what's called to be either molid or nolid on Shabbos. When you take an item and you basically create something, you create something from scratch. And again, nothing is literally Yesh Minayin, but for our purposes, from our vantage point, you're creating something Davar Chadash, you're being buried Davar Chadash. So the Moshe, the Mishnah says in Masechet Beitza, that even though on Yom Tov you're allowed to light fires on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to rub two stones together, Ein Motziin Es HaEish Min HaEitzim Min HaAvonim. Or let's say the Gemara says in the end of the fourth parak of Shabbos that you're not allowed to crush ice on Shabbos in order to make water. Why are you not allowed to crush ice? So the way most of the Rishonim learn both of those Gemaras is that you're creating something new. Either in the case of the Eish, you are forming sparks to come out. You're making a new flame that wasn't there beforehand. Or in the case of the water, you're forming water that wasn't there before. Now, I know, I also did chemistry in 10th grade. I know that the ice and the water is the same thing. This is H2O, just a different state. But P'aloch is considered to be a different entity, a new entity, and that's considered to be a problem of Bori Devachadosh. What exactly is this Isser Bori Devachadosh? As the Machalik Isser Rishonim, Rashi and the Raivid, is this an Isser of action, of Pa'ula, that I'm doing a Maisa being molded, and there's something wrong with being molded in Devachadosh. And what exactly is wrong with being molded in Devachadosh? So Rashi writes that it's not an Isser Diraisa, because it's not one of the Lamates Malachas, but it's still Asa Midirabbanan. Why? Because it's near Rekir Isser Malacha. It has the appearance of creating, means all Malachas are Zeichel and Maisa Bereshis. The Rosh was buried the Olam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was buried the Olam, so we're not allowed to be buried things in Shabbos. So there are 39 things that we're not allowed to do B'Toras Malacha. And then Midirabbanan, any other act of Bria, any other type of creation, one is not permitted to do on Shabbos. But that's the Isser of Molud of HaKadosh that we find both in Shabbos and in Yom Tov in terms of Eish and in terms of Mayim. There are other Rishonim, the Raavad, who understands that it's not really the focus of the Isser. It's not so much an Isser Pa'ula, but it's more of an Isser result. That means once something new has been created, that new item is considered to be Muktzah. So basically the problem is, I now have a Dovah Rishon Muktzah on my hands. I have a new fire that didn't exist beforehand, or I have new water that didn't exist beforehand, and that's maximum problem of Noah. Those are Suyas in the beginning of Maseches Beitza, and that the Beitza should know to be Yom Tov. So again, Machlokes Rishonim, what exactly the problem is, we call it Molad slash Noah. So the Beis Yitzchok suggests that maybe that's the issue of electricity also. That electricity is also something which is, even though it's not one of the Lamedes Malachas per se, we can't pin it down on Havara, maybe it's not Bona, maybe it's not Machmir Fatish, maybe it's not Bishul, we can't quite find the Malacha, but it's not going to be any better than all these other things. Because anytime you create any Devachadosh, anything that's any new Kayach of anything, even the Gemara says, L'moshe, you're not permitted to be Molad Reach, you're not permitted to put some perfume onto your clothing on Shabbos. You're allowed to be molded reich onto your body, but not onto your clothing. Because molded reich onto your clothing, so you're being molded something new. You're making up a new kind of a clay. It used to be a dirty, not such nice smelling clay, and now it's a beautiful smelling shirt. So that's considered to be also an instrument that abundant of being molded. So the Beis Yitzchok writes that if all these other things are also by Chazal, these are all davar molded, so you're going to tell me you take a fan and you turn it on, that's not a molded. So you mamish started something from scratch. So again, it's not a diraisa, it's not bone, it's not machmavatish, it's not havara. But to say that it's mutter, so it's very hard to believe that it's mutter. Why should this not be any different than any other molad? Unless one wants to argue on that also and say that a little lamasha as chazal, that chazal asid molad as samayim, that chazal asid molad as aish, that chazal asid molad as arech, that chazal never asid molad as a fan, molad as a air conditioner, they never asid that. So a little chadish gezeres miatzmeinu. So again, one could potentially take such an argument. If that would be the case, then one would have to go further and try to search further to try to find what potential issue would be involved in electricity. The bottom line, we're not going to search too much further. We're going to suffice ourselves with what we have on the table right now. So basically what we have is as follows, just a little bit of a summary. So we have the most serious part of electricity is the turning on of lights. And that's, we assume, is an outright issue there, I sublishum, any real suffix was man is there. That's an issue of Havara. Anytime you're out of the realm of lights, you're in the realm of other kind of devices, so then you may have a deraisa, according to the Chazon Ish, you may have a deraisa in your head. According to other poskim, you have a derabbanan in your head. We'll call this a derabbanan of molad slash nolad. Maybe others assume derabbanan involved, but according to many poskim, we wouldn't accept the Chazon Ish. Okay, so we'll try to talk about some of these things as we go on, some of the practical issues. At the end of the day, is there any real nafkamina for us? Whether it's the Raisa, the Rabbanim, the Baruch Hashem, Hashem, the Mitzvahs. So we hope that we're not going to do Isum, the Raisa, we're not going to do Isum, the Rabbanim. So why is it so important for us to be able to isolate what the nature of the Isser is? First of all, it's important in terms of alumnus, for sure it's important. Even in terms of practical halacha, it's going to be important. So some of these shahs are going to play out, particularly in the realm of Amir Le'Akam. I don't want to step too much on the sugya of Amir Le'Akam. I understand that's a topic in and of itself. But just as an important application of this, is what's that take going to be? So it's asking Goyim to do these kinds of things for us. So there's pretty much the rules that we have for Amir Le'Akam run as follows. Just for the kids and Nimrods, is that to ask a Goyim to do an Issa Deraisa for us is pretty much usur. Unless under very, very unique circumstances, etc., whatever they are, but to ask a guy to do an outright deraisa is basically is going to be awesome. However, to ask a guy to do a derabanan for us, something that even if we would do it ourselves, it would only be a derabanan. So that's what's called a shvus to shvus. And most of the rishonim assume that a shvus to shvus is mutter under certain circumstances. That's not hetter gamur, but it has to be certain extenuating circumstances, such as b'makom mitzvah, such as b'makom tzah gadol or something, maybe have some mammon according to some. So it doesn't have to be such absolute, you know, total complete emergencies in order to be mat or shvus to shvus. So the question is, what's that take going to be? Does he ask him goyim to do these kinds of things for us? Should I ask him goyim to turn on the light for me? Is that permissible or not? So it depends. If the turning on the light is an issa d'araisa, so then that's probably going to be a problem. If the turning on the light is only an issa d'rabbanan, so then there would be much more room to discuss. If we'd be even makom mitzvah, makom hefzer, etc., we'd be much more lenient if our whole take is only a d'rabbanan. So again, we said that turning on the light we assume is d'araisa, so we're going to be more machmer than that. What if it's not a light? What if it's turning on an air conditioner? What if it's turning on other devices, other things? Well, what's our approach going to be? So again, it's going to become important to know whether we're dealing with a deraisa or whether we're dealing with a derabanan. Another area where it's also important for us to be aware of what type of an issa we're dealing with, in particular which name of the issa we're talking about, is going to be relevant in terms of Hilchos Yontif. Because everything we've been talking about now is an issa about Shabbos. How does this spill over in terms of Yontif? So Yontif has a tremendous kulu to it. Yontif, lemaisa, you're a lot of light fires in Yontif. As long as it's a tzarech hayom. So for cooking, you're allowed to light fires. For reading, you're allowed to light fires. For heating the house, you're allowed to light fires. So what's the din? Would you be permitted to turn on electric lights for these purposes? So the question is, well, what potentially sum are involved in electricity? So if you hold that the turning on electricity involves an isra bona, then the chur is going to be a done deal. Then there's nothing to discuss. If the chazanish is right that turning on a light is a shail of a bona, turning on a fan is a bona, so then a bona is also a yantif. We usually assume that bone is also min haTorah and yantif. There is one day in Tysis that argues that bone and yantif is only an issa derabanan. What? Where? Who? What? Where is bone? How does bone become an issa derabanan? So it's one of those, believe it or not, Tysis. But Tysis writes that the Gemara says in Shabbos that if you make cheese on Shabbos, that's an issa deraisa of bone, because you're taking little pieces of cheese. I know about as much about making cheese as I do about electricity. You take little pieces of cheese and you hocus pocus put it together. It becomes the curds and whey's and middle muffin and everything. And sure, and you end up with a slice of cheese. So you started out with some milk, which was liquidy, and then you ended up with a slice of pizza. So that's considered to be somewhere along the way, that's considered to be an isser of bona. So Taisa says to Kasha, why don't we say mitoch? We know in Yantif, whenever we can identify malach as being mutter for achal nefesh, then it becomes mutter for other reasons also. So let's say mitoch that you're allowed to carry a Yantif food, you're allowed to carry a machzer also. Mitoch that you're allowed to do turn on a fire for cooking, so you're allowed to light a fire to read by also. So why don't we say the same story? Mitoch that you're allowed to make cheese in Yantif, because it's bone, it's achal nefesh, it should be mutter to build a house in Yantif also. So that's Taisa's kasher. So Taisa gives different answers to that kasher. So in one place, Taisa writes, yeah, no chinami, the kasher is a good kasher, and the teretz is tachan, no chinami, it's mutter. What do you mean it's mutter? The Taisa says that. You're allowed to build your house on Yontif. There's a Mishnah Beit that says beferish. There's an Isra Bona on Yontif. The Mishnah talks about Bona and Sosa, about the Sukkah, knocking down the Sukkah, building the Sukkah, etc. So what do you mean there's a hetter to do Bona on Yontif? So Taisa says, the stomach's only an Isra Rabbanan. The Bona and Yontif would only be prohibited with the Rabbanan, because it really means a Torah, you say mitoch. It doesn't look right. It doesn't look Yontif there. So therefore, with the Rabbanan, they said you got to take your hard hats off and close the construction crews. But with a Torah, maybe it's mutter to build a Yontif. It's a very in the Chiddush Dik thesis. So I once gave a shiur about this. We had a shaila once in Ashul that one of the locks of the door is jammed or something. And we had to get the lock fixed. It was like a Shmini Atzeres in the afternoon. And, you know, for simple story, you want to make sure all the doors are working. That's the bad day to have that one of your fire exits isn't functioning properly, when the shuls will become a chaos anyway. So the question was, how are we going to get this lock fixed? So part of the fixing the lock, you had to mamish break the, you had to get someone to mamish unscrew the lock, take the whole thing apart and put it, take it out, put it back together, whatever it was. They didn't ask me to do it. I was just giving directions. From the halacha point, nobody asked me to do the unscrewing, or else we'd still be there with the broken door. So this was 5 years ago. So the shaila was, what's the nature of this issur? How bad of an issur is this to unscrew the thing and to rescrew the thing? Well, so normally that's boner. You're unscrewing things off a door, off a house. That's b'chul l'karkas. Eilecha boner golem is that. So boner, so he said, it's a very, very serious issurim. So obviously no one from the shul is going to do it. The question is, can we ask a goy to do it? So do we have a right to say that's a mirli achab on a derabanan? Can we somehow knock this issur down to an issur derabanan? So one of the many things that I thought of at the time is that maybe we can knock it down to a derabanan because it's boner and yontif. Because since it's only yontif, and maybe that day intention is right. So that's like a little bit of a tzad l'hokal. I didn't necessarily, that wasn't the only tzad l'hokal. I wouldn't have been made till just like that. It's a chirabim, it's like a mirli achab, maybe mutav, it's a chirabim. And other reasons, other considerations. So maybe you can come up with different cheshbonos to figure out how to be mapped to this. So one of the things that I spoke about at the time, so I gave a shiur about the significance of this tesis. So getting back to the electricity story, so according to the Chazon Ish, that there's an isra of bona on electricity, so then of course electricity is also on yontif. Either they're ice or they're bonan, so there's no heter butzalef for any electricity on yontif. But what if you don't accept the Chazon Ish? What if you hold no? That's not really an isra of bona. So what's the status on yontif? So this was a big issue in Europe 100 years ago. So the postman had a big discussion in Europe about turning on lights. Are you permitted to turn on lights on yontif? What was the shaila? So some achronim wrote, yeah, you're allowed to turn on lights because it's you're allowed to light a fire on yontif. So I want to read, I want to be able to daven. So it's hetter gomer, you're allowed to turn on light. What's the difference between turning on an electric light bulb and lighting a fire? It's all the same thing. Havar is mutal lechatchila on yontif. It's a chayom. So other poskim responded, no, that it's a violation of emotzian as eishman ha'etzim and avonim. It's a prohibition of striking a match. It's the same way you're not allowed to rub two stones together on yontif because you're being bored of a chadash or it's mukta, whatever it is. The issue of emotzian as eish molit slash nolad. So electricity is the same thing because you have a bulb and there's nothing in the bulb and all of a sudden the bulb's coming to life. So I've just molded the bulb. That's like the motzi eishman ha'etzim and avonim. So that's what the other poskim responded. So there were some real gedolim in Europe who disagreed. So the Erech HaShulchan disagreed. The Erech HaShulchan writes, it's not true. He thought that it was mutter. So the later poskim of the last 100 years or so say that nobody should rely on any of those kulas anymore because the kulas were predicated on misinformation. But the poskim were mata them were of the opinion that the fire is basically there already. That's the Lashon Erech HaShulchan writes. Everybody knows that in electricity, the fire is basically in the walls already. So we know, Zochan Ve'am, the fire in the walls should be out of the house. I mean, there's no fire in the walls. There's the electric current that's running from the power company, whatever it is, into the walls. Eventually, they turn on the light, but you can't say the Eish is there yet. The Eish doesn't come into existence until your bulb begins to glow. So it's not the same. It's not like if I have a pre-existing fire, I can throw a log into the fire in Yontif. If I have a candle, I can light one candle from another candle. When I turn on the light, I'm the first one to start the flame. If you hold it, that's called Eish. So then I would just motzi as an Eish, but Eish and Avonim. So that's how we paskin today. So nobody really should be relying on these coolers, even though there were gedolim in Europe who did have this understanding. But the later poskim pointed out that it was probably based on a misunderstanding, and therefore one should not rely on this. I remember several years ago, I gave a shiur somewhere about this, and I just said it straight out that one should not rely, even though there were very great tzaddikim who many years ago did rely on this. But even in America, when I was a kid, so I still remember that there were people who were shomer tarbit, who turned on lights in Yontif, that they had this Messiah still from Europe. So now it's unheard. Unfortunately, a lot of people turn on lights in Yontif, people turn on lights in Shabbos also, but I'm saying about within people of Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, so there were people who did this. I don't know if you remember from your days. Now you don't see it. Yeah, but this it was based on it. It was based on that there were gedolim in Europe who permitted this. But then today we say not to do this. So one time I gave a shiur about this, and there was an elderly fellow came up to me, and he was very, very upset. He said that he thought I was undermining the Mesorah by saying that you shouldn't do this. I said, why? He said, because there was a Mesorah to be matrit. So by me saying it's us, I'm undermining the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael. I didn't think that was the Mesorah. I thought the Mesorah was that Eimotzin is Eishmin Eitzmin Avonim. Our Mesorah is the Mishnah. So there was a Machlekes the Poskim about whether that's included in the Mishnah or not. So although there were Gedolim who permitted it, but the Rubid Poskim said it was not true. And Bismanazah, nobody says it's really true. Nobody really is Matrit Bismanazah. So nobody. Consensus view and regular norm of Halach is that it's also. So I don't think one should be making it at all. Yeah, so the dimmer switch in Yontif, the problem is that the metzias, again, this is the way the electricians have explained it, the metzias is that it's not really true. It's not that the the glow is there and you're just making it higher. Is that when you paskim around with the dimmer, so there are new things that are created. Some things are closed, new things are open. I don't know enough about electricity. I'm just telling you what people in the field have informed us of. So I don't think one should use that either. Okay, anyway, so getting back to this general story. So we have a little bit of an overview in terms of what the Yisurim are we dealing with the Deraisis, the Rabbanis, we're dealing with Eish, we're dealing with Motzi, as Eish makes the Navana, we're dealing with Molid, we're dealing with Bona, Makapatish, all the assorted kinds of things. The basic breakdown in terms of the appliances is that electrical bulbs are in one category and pretty much everything else is in the other. Even within electric bulbs, there's a further breakdown because there's a further question, what about bulbs which don't have that incandescent bulbs and the filament that's actually burning. So what if you have a fluorescent bulb? So what the Bashup shot is that a fluorescent bulb is, there is nothing that's burning. You can't call that an Hesh, but even though there were poskim who said that therefore turning on a fluorescent bulb, unless you look at Chazanish. If you don't look at the Chazanish, well, everything is there, I said, because of Bona, but if you don't accept the Chazanish, so then maybe the fluorescent bulbs would only be a Dirabonin. So the problem is that, again, I don't know enough about this. I'm telling you what the people in the field have told me, is that it's not always true, because even within the fluorescent bulbs, part of the starting mechanism is that there is some metal that is heated up. There is a metal that begins to glow in order to get the bulb itself glowing. So even though the part that you're seeing is the gases that are just jumping around the meshuggah getting heated up, that in and of itself is not Aish, but since part of the igniting, so to speak, process involves Aish, so that would be a deraisa. So the person who told me this, back in Eretz Yisrael, a couple of years ago, when I went to one of these science and halacha institutes to try to figure out some of these things are, so when he was trying to explain this to me, so he said it's not true about all bulbs. He said some fluorescent bulbs don't have this, and others do. So I asked him, so how would I know by looking at it? So he said, unless you really understand it, you wouldn't be able to tell. So I figured that since I don't plan on understanding it, so I won't be able to tell. So I have to now go assume that all the fluorescent bulbs may be deraisas also. So even though there was a time for many years when I used to tell people that fluorescent bulbs you can assume are derabanan, again, it doesn't mean that's mutter, it just means that it could be more makel, more yakum, things of that nature. I have to retract that, unless somebody can fill me in on the physics, if you can tell me for certain that this particular bulb is not a deraisa. Sabir Psigratia, it's a... This is not a psigratia, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to turn on the bulb. This is the only way to turn on the bulb, is to do this. Is not a psigratia. This is not, I don't think it's a psigratia. This is the way you turn on the bulb, by turning. When I turn on the switch, this is what it does. It's a Dovra Mechavim Mamish. It's a suffix, Dovra Mechavim Mamish. It's a suffix, skewer. Okay, suffix carbon, for those who are learning at Daf Yomi these days, you want to figure out how many karbanos you have. Okay, yeah.
Just to clarify, then turning lights on Yontif, that is an Issur Rabbanan?
So turning on lights on Yontif, if you hold that the Issur Motzi is an Eish, when the Eish Rabbanan is only Dirabanan, like most, many, many folks can say, then it would only be Midrabanan, unless the Chaznish is right. The Chaznish is right, then we have a Diraisif of Bona. So it will be, there is an important distinction. With the Yontif, will be a little bit more Makel. That means even though on Shabbos we would never think of telling a goy outright to turn on a light, I mean, unless you have some unbelievable, you know, tzarach that would be Matar, Miliakim, and a Deraisa, on Yontif there would be definitely more grounds to be made. Okay. Everything that we've been talking about up to now is assuming that the person is actually turning on the lights or the electric devices on Shabbos and Yontif itself. Whatever person sets up a system from beforehand that the light is going or the device is going, is there anything usher about that? So this is not really electricity, Shiloh. This is a general look of Shabbos, Shiloh. What's the din? Am I allowed to set up any device, any kind of, even not electric appliance, so to speak, which where the malach is going to continue to be going on Shabbos? So this was a machlek, is that tenoyim, at the end of the first parak of Shabbos. So how do we paskin on this Shiloh? So we paskin basically as mutter, that one is permitted to set up a system from beforehand that will cause malachas to continue. The only thing is that sometimes there's a problem with the Rabbanan. The Gemara draws a distinction. At the end of the first parak of Shabbos, the Gemara discusses the certain kinds of systems that are problematic, one of them being the Rechaim Shomayim. The Gemara says you're not allowed to put your grain into a water wheel from before Shabbos that's going to keep on grinding the grain throughout Shabbos. So what's the problem? The Gemara says, if you're allowed to do other things, I'm allowed to set up, let's say, a trap from before Shabbos to trap the animals on Shabbos, so why can't I set up the water wheel from beforehand? So the Gemara says, because it's mashmiya kol, because it causes a lot of noise. and therefore it's a problem. And what exactly is the problem? So it's clearly only a problem with the Rabbanan. So there's machlokes of Rishonim what the problem is. Is it a problem of Marisayan? There are people are going to hear, they're going to walk by your backyard and hear the water wheel going, they're going to think that you actually did it on Shabbos. That's a problem of not really Marisayan, Maris Shemiah, whatever you want to call it. And the other reason is because it's a Zilus of the Shabbos. It's just, I'm going to draw attention to itself, and that's going to lead to a desecration of Shabbos. Anytime a malachas happen on their own, which cause people to comment and to notice it, so that in of itself is considered to be a desecration of Shabbos. When an animal gets trapped, so 1 split second, it doesn't make so much noise, and that's it. Whereas when the wheel is going constantly, it's making a racket, so that's considered to be a zilus of the Shabbos. So that's how we assume halach. It's machlokes we showed him whether we even paskin like this line, the Gemara, because the Gemara is a different mahalach also, but we assume halach, at least the Ramah assumes halach, that there is a very real problem called zilus of the Shabbos. So this is something we have to take into consideration. Anytime we have any kinds of systems that are set up, even electric, especially electric systems, if there are systems that fall into the category of Zilus of the Shabbos, of Mashmiya Kol, etc., then they're going to be problematic, even not on the level of the Raisa, only on the level of the Rabbanan. So it's this sugya that was part of the original discussion about Shabbos clocks. Now, do Shabbos clocks fall into this category? So you turn on a system from before Shabbos, you set something up, the lights go off, etc. Is that considered to be a Zilus of the Shabbos or not? So Rav Moshe has his famous tshuva. We originally addressed the issue of Shabbos clocks. And Rav Moshe wrote that if you would have asked me before it became a billion-dollar industry, so I would have said that you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't have any Shabbos clocks, because he thought that violated the concept of Zilus of the Shabbos also. And Rav Moshe says, Lamaisa, once everybody's doing it, so then that, in a certain sense, detracts from the Zilus of the Shabbos. Because the Zilus of the Shabbos, if it's known that you do it before some, that I'm not turning on the lights. Everybody realizes the lights are going on off by themselves, so then it's hard to call it a Zilus of the Shabbos, hard to call it a Mashmiya Kol anymore. So therefore, Rav Moshe writes that the days when Rav Moshe was asked the Tshuva, they were only using Shabbos clocks for lights. So Rav Moshe said, I can't ask for the lights, because when you walk by a person's house and you see the lights going on and off and on and off, so you don't think twice about it. Whereas other kind of appliances, which nobody's using yet, so Rav Moshe says, you shouldn't be the first one to start using them. But the problem is that other people have already used them. So now whatever Moshe said about lights 80 years ago is probably going to be true about other things also. So it depends on what they are. So we usually are a little bit more makil to use other kinds of Shabbos clocks for other kinds of devices. We shouldn't be the one initiating it. We shouldn't be the ones making or killing our new Shabbos clocks. Whatever the Olam already uses for Shabbos clocks, so whatever those things are, we assume are okay. Unless they're really an outright violation of Zilus of the Shabbos, something which is really Mashmiya Kol, something which really, really makes a racket, then we really should refrain from using it. So this was the reason why that one should avoid Shabbos clocks on dishwashers, at least the old-style dishwashers. I'm not going to comment on the new-style dishwashers, but old dishwashers that made noise, let's say washing machines, person's got to throw stuff into the wash right before Shabbos, or stuff's in the dryer before Shabbos, so one is really supposed to close all these appliances when Shabbos begins, because this would be a violation of a Mashmiya Kol. There is a shiloh where the Mashmiya Kol applies. What if there's nobody around? It's going to be Mashmiya Kol, but no one's going to hear the call. So this was a question years ago in Yeshiva, where some of the Bochim wanted to know whether they're permitted to throw stuff into the washing machine, into the dryer, on Friday afternoon, right before Shabbos, down in the morgue basement. So in the morgue basement at the time was never used for anything. There's still a shul down there? What's downstairs now? People daven there at all?
Yeah, there's a kavach.
Oh, okay, good. So, okay, that's Mashmiya Kol. Kabach. Okay, so that's a different kind of Mashmiya Kol. So, years ago, no one ever used it. It was, I don't know, the game room, whatever stuff was going on down there. Morgmart, that still exists? That's long gone. You don't even know what it is. You don't even know what Morgmart is to know that it doesn't exist anymore. Okay. Still there?
It's gone.
It's gone, long gone. Okay. So, in the good old years, back in the 1980s, so they used to, there wasn't too much going on in the basement of Morg on a Shabbos. So the question was, maybe I could leave his stuff in the machine and walk away and shouldn't come back once I Shabbos to pick it up. So maybe you could argue that was mutter. If no one's going down, then maybe that's not necessarily Mashmiya Kol. And so that was a debatable question. I don't know whether it's relevant anymore, but in theory that would be a debatable question. But Moshe discusses this issue of Mashmiya Kol, just how far does the kol have to be, I'm not sure the correct word is mushma, probably not the correct word, but how far the kol has to be, mishma, how far the... Yes, you follow from the chila now. How far does the kol have to go in order to be a problem of Mashmiya Kol? So Rav Moshe says, let's say you have a kol that makes a very, very small amount of noise. I set up some kind of electric contraption before Shabbos. It's going to go off on Shabbos. It's going to make noise, but the noise is going to be very, very low. No one's really going to hear it. I mean, very, very limited space. So Rav Moshe writes, he thinks if no one can hear it outside of your room, you close the door and they can't even hear it in the next room, So we thought that's not really considered to be the shear of Moshe Miyakol. So that would be okay. So that Shuvah Ramayisha becomes important in terms of alarm clocks. So if you want to set up an alarm clock for before Shabbos, it's going to go blessed and on Shabbos itself. So what's the din? Is that considered to be a problem of Moshe Miyakol? So it depends how loud the alarm clock is. The problem is it's a little bit of a catch-22 because the alarm clock isn't so loud that you can't hear the next room. The odds are you won't be able to hear it either. So that's already a Shabbos. I remember when we first got married, so I used to set an alarm clock on Friday afternoon. I always thought it wasn't such a loud alarm clock, so I figured, okay, I'll wait until to come to Shachar sometime. And there was one summer morning, not Shabbos, during the week, where I used to give a shiur early in the mornings. We lived in Washington Heights. I used to give a 6 o'clock in the morning shiur in Riverdale. So at that time, we only had one car. So my wife had to go to work, so I would drive to Riverdale, say the shiur, and come back, and then she would take the car and go to work. So usually I would wake up when I would get home, 7:30, whatever it was. So then I would just go back to sleep and daven at 8:30 minute, but that was not part of the story. Okay. Anyway, but before I was saying Shiva. Anyway, so remember one it must have been a summer morning, I was walking down, I parked the car back in the street, whatever it was, I was walking down 187th Street, and we lived on the fifth floor, and I hear this him, I heard my alarm going off, and I remembered, I had set the alarm to wake my wife up at whatever, 7:30, and I'm hearing the alarm five floors down. And I realized, because our windows were open, I realized this alarm is really much more powerful than I ever thought it was. I never realized how loud it was. So I guess in the Heights it's hard to hear anything. Mr. Softy Truck, is that still around? It's not here either. Still there. Something's never changed. So we hear a lot of sounds in the Heights. So this was one of the sounds. I never realized how loud it was. So that was the last time I ever used the alarm on Shabbos, because I realized that I think it's a problem with Shmiya Kol, because it's something that can be heard downstairs. So that's for sure considered to be a shiur of Shmiya Kol. So again, you have to be careful with this issa. So even though we may be able to mount the certain things to set up them beforehand, if they run into problems with Shmiya Kol, they're going to be problematic. Right, so that's the problem. That's the age-old question that we don't want to answer. We don't want to say why an air conditioning is different. So some air conditioning is different. We don't know exactly why. Okay, so we're going to assume that it's okay. Even if everyone, so that's the question. Does everybody? But you don't always say that. The post will talk about that. If you have a type of a thing that's always set up from beforehand, then the chariot should be okay. But alarm clocks people set before they go to sleep very often. So that's not something that you always set from before Shabbos. It was something that's set up, like the Ramot talks about these grandfather clocks. If you have a grandfather clock, I set it up, I bought a grandfather clock, we set up the device now, and every hour in the hour, it gives a chime, it gives a bang. So the Ramot writes, well, everybody knows that you set it up for 20 years in advance. So that's not considered to be Mashmir Kol on Shabbos. That doesn't detract from Shabbos, but an alarm clock, if I hear an alarm clock going off on Shabbos, so a person could rightfully assume, oh, well, the alarm clock's going off on Shabbos, it was probably set to go off last night before the person went to sleep. That would be a problem with Moshe Miyakol.
Unless you know that everyone sets alarm clocks.
I mean, everybody does it, so I don't know, I'm not sure. I don't know. You get some, find someone to wake you up in Shabbos.
I think the
testimony
of the kosher clock is that they have one setting that's louder for the week and a quieter alarm noise.
Right, so the problem is I don't need a kosher clock for that. I can just buy a regular clock that doesn't work. So if you have a clock that just doesn't go loud, it should be mutter, right? I don't know. If it's really low, again, if it's really low, so then it's a touch of remoter. They have other kinds of systems that if you're, when the alarm clock goes off, so it doesn't make a noise, it pours a cup of water on your head or something. So those kinds of things are mutter. Maybe Shabbos of Kibbutz and Liban on Shabbos. But,
Yesh Lahacha. Specifically, not enough to go down to the street or work in an apartment?
I don't know. Whatever it is, I don't know. If it's outside, if you can hear it outside the room, do a test run. If you hear it outside the room, so then it's We had the same issue of Mashmiya Kol. Did we talk about it when we spoke about kids with the swings? I forgot. Yeah. We spoke about the swings, right? About the Shah Mashmiya Kol and the swings also, right? Yeah, also magic is what you had to say. Okay, you had to say that last discussion. Okay. When we're dealing with Shabbos clocks, again, we're assuming that the Shabbos clocks are okay in terms of at least setting up lights, but a very real Shah that comes up in terms of the use of Shabbos clocks is the adjusting of the Shabbos clocks. What's the din? If a person wants to change the time of the Shabbos clock, so he set the Shabbos clock, the lights are supposed to go off at 11 o'clock, and then he wants them to go off 9 o'clock, he wants them to go off at 2 o'clock in the morning, he wants them to go off either earlier or later, what exactly is the story? So we're going to break this down into two different topics. We're going to talk about theory for a moment as to what the potential issues are, and then we're going to say practically what a person should do about this. So in terms of theory, there is a major question in the poskim is the adjusting of a Shabbos clock to make it go either off or on earlier, does that fall under the category of halacha what's called grama? The Gemara Masech HaShabbos has a complicated discussion, the 16th parak of Shabbos, about the dinim of grama. The Gemara says, L'sasa kav halacha, siya asa rachmana grama shari. The Min HaTorah, you're allowed to do a malacha derech grama. So the example that the Gemara gives of derech grama is if there's a fire, and to pour water directly on the fire, that's an issur of kibbuy biyadayim. So I'm not going to pour water on the fire. I'm going to pour water 10 feet away from the fire, and eventually the fire is going to get here. The fire is going to extinguish itself. So the Gemara says that's not a misa d'oraisa. That's called derech grama. So there is a machlekes rishonim where the grama is mutal chatchila, or where the grama is still awesome at the rabbanon. The only reason why they were matzvit for the fire is they don't want your house to burn down. So that's a shadow. So we usually machmir. The Ramah's machmir that we try to avoid doing grama mid the rabbanon unless there's some big tzarech. Your house is going to burn down, or as a chayla, or a mitzvah, some unique tzarech. But otherwise, grama is at least prohibited on the level of the rabbanon. So the question becomes, is that when I patchke around with the Shabbos clock, and I make it either go off earlier, or I make it go on earlier, so is that considered to be an issur of grama or not? So the Shabbos kochasa takes the whole approach that this is only a problem of grama, and therefore it's bound by the parameters of grama. So the parameters of grama are, it's only mid the rabbanon. And the parameters are also that if some big macha mitzvah, tzarech, chachol, or something, then it's going to be even mutlach etchila. So it's based on this that the Shmir Shabbos has a long discussion about different nuances of being matir, changing the time settings on Shabbos clocks in order to get it to go off or on earlier, if whatever criteria met, which would otherwise be matir grama. The problem is that not everybody agrees to the very premise of the Shmir Shabbos. There are other poskim who disagreed vehemently, who said that this is not grama b'chalal. So the truth is that there's a major machlokes that we've shown them already about how to define grama. It's a little bit related to the Neres Chanukah Shabbos, Mistapik B'Shem Shabiner. If the Gemara says on the one hand that pouring water on the outside of the clothing is not called a malacha d'oraisa. On the other hand, the Gemara says that if you take some of the oil out of your can, let's say you're tomorrow night, you lit your Neres Chanukah, and you got a lot of big oil, a lot of oil in there, and all of a sudden you come Friday night to the meal, and you realize that, hey, I'm a little low on salad dressing, so I want to take some of the olive oil out of my nail that's still going. So besides the Nechanaka problem of Neir Salol Kol Hashem Inlan of Shus L'Shan Shrem, you have a problem with the Araisa. That's what's called Mistapik L'Shem and Shabiner. You're drawing some of the oil out of the fire. That's considered to be a problem. So the question is, the Rishonim are very bothered. Where do you draw the line? When is it called Groma, and when is it called Kibui Mamish? So that's beyond right now the scope. Like I said, Rishonim, how to solve that problem. So that's related to the Shabbos clock issue as well. Suffice it to say that there are many poskim who argue with the very premise of the Shmir Shabbos, who assume that changing settings on Shabbos clocks is a real Malacha D'Araisa. It's Malacha the Kibui, or Hadlocha, Havara, Mamish B'Yadayim. If that's the case, then there would be no grounds to be Matir or any of the moving on the Shabbos clocks whatsoever, unless if all you want to do is to extend something, because I don't want to make it go off earlier, I don't want to make it go on earlier. What if it's already in the setting that I want it? So the clock is on right now, and it's on, it's about to go off in a half hour, so I just want to yank the piece out in order to keep it the way it is. So that's not even grama, that's less than grama. So the bottom, so this again, this is all the theoretical question. So either it's malacha d'oraisa b'yadayim, or it's grama, and then it's mutter sometimes, but the lemaisa part of this whole discussion is that one should not be touching Shabbos clocks bichlal. That the Masorah that I have from my Rebbeim is that you don't patchke around Shabbos clocks. Bain to turn on, bain to turn off, better to extend it, to not extend it, just don't touch Shabbos clocks. Because according to some, you may run into potential Shabbos d'oraisas, according to others, you run into problems with the Rabbanan. Let's discuss whether the pieces may be a shal of muktz. Also, there are a lot of potential in michsholim in the realm of adjusting Shabbos clocks. Therefore, set your Shabbos clock to go on at the right time, and if it's not at the right time, so tough. So you live with it like the old days when there were no Shabbos clocks. So again, there's a lot of lumdus about it, but time doesn't have right now. Suffice to say that I don't think anyone should be touching any Shabbos clocks whatsoever. In terms of other kinds of, as you mentioned, I was going to talk about the kosher clocks, but it's hard not to talk about the kosher lamps. So, again, I have to be my honest opinion. When I first saw the kosher lamps, I was appalled. I thought that they were tremendous zilzul Shabbos. That was my initial reaction to it. Baruch Shekivanti, because apparently Rav Yashiv thought the same thing also. So again, I don't want to put anybody out of business. I don't want to tell anyone, you know, not to buy products. But if you ask me personally, I don't understand it. I think I'm not saying it's awesome in terms of obviously no malach whatsoever. Just, it's like taking a towel and throwing it on top of a lamp, which will set your house on fire. But it's a little more efficient way of doing that. But the Fionian's diet, I think it's very smacks of a serious zilzul Shabbos. Yeah, that's my personal opinion, but you know, you can do with it whatever you want. No, there are certain things, like the Gemara talks about the Mashmir Kol and the potentials of the Siddur Shabbos, but, you know, there's a certain degree of sensitivity. The Ramban's line in Chumash, you know, Shabbos Lashem, Shabbosom, is always staring us in the face, so it's hard for me to sanction this. Again, I didn't say the word Asar, but it's hard for me to accept it. Okay. There are other important parts of the Shabbos, which is, again, very, very hard to do justice to. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, next year, the Yeshiva's learning Shabbos, so probably a good part of the year is going to be on a lot of these sugyas. And those are a lot of issues that come up in terms of the Shabbos, which really go across the board in terms of all malachas, but become especially significant in the realm of a lot of the electricity shahs that come up. Those are some of the issues of Dov Hashem Miskaven, Ipsik Reishas, Ipsik Reishas, the Nicholas, etc. So I just want to give this a little bit of an overview, you know, maybe one or two examples of how some of this plays out in terms of some of the electric things that we find ourselves being faced with on Shabbos. So there is a basic machlekes hatanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the ABCs of Hilchos Shabbos, in terms of what's called Dov Hashem Miskaven. If I do action X, and there's a chance that Y may take place, maybe and maybe no. So what's the status of that action? Am I permitted to do X or not? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to do X. If you think there's a chance that Y may happen, even though X is not a malacha, but Y is a malacha, if there's a chance that Y may happen, that's an Isser, that's called Dovah Shehinim Iskafin. That's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. So there's Machalik Zivi Shonim, is that a Deraisa, Deraban? Again, we don't want to take away from next year's Shia, but the bottom line is it's also according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we don't pass like that. We pass like Rabbi Shimon, and Dovah Shehinim Iskafin is Mut. It's Mut Minatar, Mut Midirabanan. It's Mut Lechatchila through a Dovah Shehinim Iskafin. So I'm allowed to do X, even though there's a chance that Y may take place. However, the Gemara puts the brakes on that klal. The Gemara says that that's only true if it's not a psik reisha. If it's a psik reisha, if I know for a fact that Y is going to take place, or the post can add on, even if I don't know 100% fact, that's a robe, it's a curve of psik reisha, it's a 51% chance that Y is going to happen, that's already a problem. So that's what's the famous klal in the Gemara, Vayiv Rabba Demet Shavayu, Modi Rabbi Shimon b'psik reisha b'lo yamus. That's how we, of course, pass in halacha, Dov Hashem is kavet, is mutter, but a psik reisha is aser. Sometimes it's hard to define what exactly a psik reisha is. At what point do we say something is a psik reisha? At what point do we say it's a malacha biyadayim? And that's an important difference. Why? Even though psik reisha is also, and even though psik reisha may be even a deraisa, but we assume that psik reisha is mutter aydei amir liyachum. You're permitted to ask a guy to do something for you, which is only also mitam psik reisha. Why is that? So the pashup shad is because amir liyachum means I'm not allowed to ask a guy to do a malacha for me. I'm not asking a goy to do a malacha for me. I'm asking a goy to do a davra mutter for me. El what? By doing the davra mutter, a malacha is taking place. But I didn't tell him to do the malacha. So that's not called amir liyachon. That's what we generally assume. Ikim ikar din, mokam tzarech Shabbos, we assume like that svar. That amir liyachon on a psik reisha is mutter. But amir liyachon on a malacha deraisa, malacha biyadayim is asar. So sometimes it's hard to define what's called a psik reisha and what's already called a malacha biyadayim. So let's say, lemoshal, you want to open a refrigerator, and I know that the light's on. But I remember, I totally forgot to turn off the light on before Shabbos. When I was a kid, so that was part of the routine, the Friday afternoon. The last thing my mother would do before she benchlech was she would go and pashka with the, it was always hot, you know, whatever it was, so, because the fridge was always open most of the time on Friday. So she would, you know, quickly, I can't tell her to get the bulb to be turned off. So in all the years, when I was a bachar, you know, maybe 2-3 Shabbos, I remember my mother must have forgotten, so we had a shot of what to do with the bulb. So I didn't trust myself in the first Shabbos we got married, so I took the bulb out and I threw it into the garbage, and that's it. Now there's no bulb, nice bulb. So there's no, we have no alarm clocks, we have no bulbs, we have nothing. We live like in the Stone Age. Okay. So the shot is, let's say I know for a fact that the bulb is on, am I permitted to open the fridge? So clearly not. Why am I not allowed to open the fridge? Because I'm going to turn the bulb on. So what if I ask a goy to open the fridge for me? Is that okay? So I go to the goy, your neighbor, and I say, can you please open the fridge? So if one argues that that's called the psik reisha, so then it's okay, because I'm asking the goy to do open a fridge. There's nothing wrong with opening a fridge. It's only a problem on psik reisha. But we assume there's no psik reisha on Amir Liyakum. So if that fact is correct, it's only a psik reisha, that would be okay. But unless one wants to argue, that maybe don't. Maybe the opening up of a fridge and the turning on the bulb of the fridge is chadamaisa. It's the same thing. It's more than a psik reisha. The way you turn on a bulb of a refrigerator is by opening the door. The same way you turn a light switch. You don't say that turning a light switch is a psik reisha of making light. That's the way to turn on a light is by turning on the switch. So the way to opening up the fridge light is to open up the door of the refrigerator. So that's not a psik reisha. That's a davar biyadayim. So when I'm asking the guy, open up the door, that's tantamount to saying, open up the door to Ha'i turn on the light. So that would be Osir. Amir Yachon would be Osir under those circumstances. So that was a Machlekes HaPoskim. So Machlekes Ramesha Ram Shlomo Zalman. So Ramesha seemed to assume that that's only a Psik Reish. And therefore the Amir Yachon Lacharit should be Mutar. Whereas according to Ram Shlomo Zalman, he was Noita, a Sophic at least, that maybe that's considered to be a Dayim. So this Shaila came up in Washington Heights. So, 1 year, it was a late Friday night. And we're sitting in the Beis Medrash, and the stomach was still a bachar. And somebody came by to the Beis Medrash and said that they forgot to lock the door of their car or something. And the only way is to open up the door. They had to get inside. I forgot about all the details. And they wanted to know, can they ask the guard to open up their car door for them? So the shayla was, well, the opening of the car door itself is maybe shalom muktzah, klishmach l'yisr, okay, ayideh goy, mokl hefzer, okay, whatever it is. But more serious shayla was that the light was going to go on. So if it would have been more shivish car, the light doesn't go on, it doesn't exist, someone threw the bulb out, never fixed the bulb in 20 years, okay, then we'd be mutter. But this was a more up-to-date car. So the shayla was, can I ask the guy to open up the car door, knowing full well the light is going to go on? So at the time, so I said that I thought it was mutter. I thought it was the classic example of a psik reisha, ayideh amir liyachon, which is mutter. So that's what I said at the time. So it was somebody else sitting in the Beis Medrash at the time who showed me this footnote in Shmei Shabbos, and never Shlomo Zalman. I didn't know it at the time. To show me that Shlomo Zalman is right there to say that maybe the case of the fridge light, which is the same as the car light, would all be considered to be a chadamaisa. That's worse than a psik reisha. So I thought it was mutter. I showed him Rav Moshe said it was mutter. Back and forth, pilgrim Rav Moshe. Shlomo Zalman is a mutter. Is it also? Anyway, the Meisner Tommy came to the conclusion the car was already broken into. It was already long gone. It was already a bottle. But in theory, that's the shower.
Once you forget and you open the fridge,
right? That's a big problem. Yeah, so that's another very serious challenge. Try to get a guy to close it for you. If you can't get a guy to close for you, the question is maybe I can just let go. If I let go, what's going to happen? It may close. It may not close. Maybe spoil food. I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyway, so getting back to the story, so it's sometimes very hard to delineate exactly what's called a psik reisha, what exactly is even worse than a psik reisha, called a ma'aseh b'yadayim. But in theory, the rule is that a psik reisha is asur and a davar she'en miskaven is mutter. However, even within hilchos psik reisha, we run into differences. The Gemara has explicit differences between a psik reisha, what's called a psik reisha, the nichale, versus a psik reisha, the lo nichale. If I do something in such a manner that I'm very happy with the outcome, that's a much more serious kind of a psik reisha. If I do something I really couldn't care less, lo nichale, according to most, doesn't mean I don't want it, it means I couldn't care less about it. If I don't really care about it, that's a much less of a problem. Doesn't mean that it's mutter, it means it's less of a problem. So one of the Rishon, the Aruch, place is called tell that it's mamish mutter, and we basically try not to follow that. So we usually assume that a psik reisha, the lo nichale, is still a problem, albeit a much less of a problem. So this becomes a very, very relevant in terms of a lot of electric devices, particularly in the realm of the security systems. I don't want to talk about that because I know this is supposed to be a topic in and of itself, but the kitzur nimrutz, the basic issue is that anytime I walk past certain things that cause certain lights to go on, so what are we dealing with? Are we dealing with a dover mechavin mamish? I don't really want it to go on. I want to walk past it. So I'm not really interested in it going on. It's a psik reisha. It's a psik reisha lo nichale, really. It's a psik reisha lo nichale. It depends. Let's say I'm walking in a stairway, and by my walking in the stairway, it sits on certain sensors, and the lights go on, and I'm very, very nichale. I'm very happy about it. So you're going to say, no, it's lo nichale. You know why? Because since it's Shabbos, I don't want to be mechal Shabbos, it's lo nichale. So the person can write, that's a joke. Because, okay, so then we'll tell you that it's mutter. Once you tell it's mutter, then it's nichale. So then they'll turn around and say, no, it's lo nichale. I don't want it. So you spend the rest of your life trying to figure out whether it's nichale or not. So there's the feirish, but that's not called lo nichale. Nichale means, would you like it on Tuesday or not? If you liked it on Tuesday, then it's a problem, even on Friday night. So every time you do anything that causes anything to go on, even though that wasn't your initial kavana, any electricity, whether you're talking about walking past lights, you're walking past cameras, any of these kinds of things, which again will be hopefully discussed in much greater detail, but these are some of the things you have to go off in your mind. These ideas of, is this a davar mechavin mamish, is this a psik reisha, is this a psik reisha nichle, psik reisha lo nichle, these are a lot of the issues. You have a lot of these kinds of psik reishas and davar mechavin kinds of questions with other kinds of electric things, let's say, water coolers, water fountains, refrigerators, a lot of these things touch on a lot of these different types of things. Usually what most of us assume is that the opening of a refrigerator is probably mutter and Shabbos, even though there was some poskim who asked it. So many poskim who asked it because they felt that when you open up the refrigerator, so you're causing the motor to go on. So that's not always true. I mean, it's not necessarily, every time we open it up, well, maybe one could argue that's not a psik reisha. Maybe it's a davar she'en miskaven. Maybe it's a grumma because there's a little bit of a time delay in it. So there are a couple of factors that maybe there are no lights, so no lights maybe only the Rabbanon in the first place. Again, a lot of things that we put together became the source for those who were Mako to open up refrigerators on Shabbos without the lights issue, just down in terms of the motor going on and off. Then the question becomes a lot of the water coolers. Again, many of the same shadows just keep on repeating themselves. You have to just figure out what are the facts. So is it a psik reisha? Is it not a psik reisha? So I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael a couple of years ago, so I went to one of the machons that deals with a lot of this kind of stuff. So they were telling us about the water cooler. So the guy was saying, anytime you fill up four cups of water, that's already psik reisha, for sure that the machine is going to go back on. So the question is, okay, so but I only want to fill up one cup of water. So if I fill up one, you fill up one, he fills up one, no one knows exactly which one is going to be the one to trigger. No one's keeping track of when it went on last. So maybe one could argue that it's mutter. What if I want to fill up a whole pitcher of water? So I know for a fact, when I fill on the pitcher of water, that's inevitably going to cause the machine to go back on. So that becomes a psik reisha. Maybe it's a psik reisha. It's probably a psik reisha. So Yaakov, you with us, the trip, right? So again, a lot of these things are metzias. You got to find out, is this a davar shenem iskaven? Is it a psik reisha? Is it nichalei lo nichalei? Then you have to try to plug in. So the basic lalamah, davar shenem iskaven is mutter. Psik reisha, the nichalei is for sure also. Psik reisha, the lo nichalei is most probably also. If it's a psik reisha, the lo nichalei and a derabanan, that's a machlekes poskim. We try to be machmer that. If it's what's called a psik reisha, the lo nichalei and a double derabanan, so derabanan for so many different reasons, then there are more grounds to be makel. So again, it's hard to go through every single case, but those are pretty much, you have to be able to, no pun intended, plug in all this information. So you have to first know, are we dealing with deraisas or derabanans? That's the first half of the shiur. So are we lights? Are we appliances? Is it Shabbos? Is it Yontif, etc.? Are Jews doing it? Are Goyim doing it? That's the first factors you have to take into consideration. Then you have to try to figure out, are we dealing with derech grom? Is it the adayim? Is it something which is psikreisha? If it's a psikreisha, is it a psikreisha nichle, lo nichle? If you put all these factors all together, then hopefully we'll be able to try to answer as these shadows come away and shams again.
So when I said press opens the fridge for, and they're looking for the fridge to get out all the food for lunch, Kayla.
Yeah, so what I mean, if that's a psik reisha, that's going to be, yeah. What I try to do is I open up the fridge, I take whatever I need, and close the fridge, and sure, the person's going to stand the dafka and waiting around for an hour, so then inevitably the machine's going to go on. Yeah. Just open the fridge normally, don't pay so much attention to it, open it up quickly, take your food out, and sure, the less time you spend in the open fridge is also better for other reasons, so you get less time as to what you want to eat. So. But in Shabbos, I don't want to share anyone's other Shabbos. Okay. You guys go down the hill?